Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wasted on Wednesday with Casey Gale and Tina Lorraine Brown, only on LA Talk Radio.
What's good, people? It's your boy KCG Senior on the radio by myself. My girl Tina has a little headache, the migraine's hitting her. But it's all right, though. I'm going to try and make it without her because, you know, she's the better half of the show. She's really the star. I'm just on along for the ride. Today's show is brought to you by Belorian and Malukian LLP. Great law firm, hardworking law firm, serious law firm. They get it done. Just last week, they won a client over $1 million in a case that was unwinnable. They told them it was unwinnable, and they got it done. You can call them at 818-INJURY-8, Belorian Malukian LLP, fully staffed law firm, the best. Matter of fact, I carry their card with me everywhere I go. Popo say anything to me, I like call them. But Lauren Malukian, and that's my boys. And our next sponsor is Loyalty Auto Group. Shout out to all the dudes there, Loyalty, Hyro, Sarkis, and his new son Jacob. Big up, big up. Art, you better be on the show next week. You could call them at 818. Let me get my card out of my pocket. 818-200-0333. Let me tell you something. They are the king of Range Rover. That's why I like them. They keep the Range Rovers coming in. I'm a Range Rover freak. Loyalty Auto Group. Look at their Instagram. It's popping. They got everything. They almost got me in a car this week, but, you know, I'm Scooter Mob for life. GG. Sherman Oaks Gang Gang. Scooter Gang. Well, I don't know where to start. Today was an amazing day. Today was a beautiful day in my life. You know, there's those moments in time where you have those special moments and you think about, you know, where were you when this happened? Today, Manchester United played in the second leg against PSG. PSG came to Old Trafford, did their thing, scored 2 points, whatever, whatever. You know, and we had a full squad, you know. And so it looked kind of bad. It looked kind of bad. All the pundits, all the haters was like, oh, yeah, United is going to go down. United's going to go down. Like, we're just going to bow down to them. But one thing we have is called history. We have a deep history. And we'll talk more about history later. I got to get back to the current situation. So today we played a squad of, I guess you could say, reserves. To me, there's no reserves. There's no reserves on Manchester United. If you're a United, you're a baller. You know what I'm saying? Other clubs, you could be a reserve there. You could be a reserve at Arsenal, Chelsea. That's the plastic people. Arsenal has no money. They're broke. You know, Tottenham, whatever. They got a stadium. Liverpool, the Scousers. Come on. Liverpool, the Scousers. I don't even trip off them too much. I don't even trip off them too much. You know, they want to be us. They want to be relevant. You know, but. So anyway, today we went to Paris. Everybody written us off. I almost fell for it. I almost went for the banana and the tailpipe. I was like, you know, I don't think my boy's going to do it. It's a good season. Let's look forward to Arsenal. But yesterday, I saw something beautiful. I saw something beautiful. I seen Ajax come back and beat Real Madrid. The Invincibles, the, what do they call them? The Galacticos. Yeah, them dudes. And they went down. And I was sitting around, you know, I have some haters at work. They're all my friends, but I still call them haters. And they were like, oh, yeah, You see how Real Madrid lost that whatever, yada, 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 whoop, whoop. And I was just like, you know what? We're going to do that tomorrow. And everybody laughed. Laughed at my man. Laughed at Case like he was nuts. 2 minutes in, Lukaku scores a goal. And I was calm. And then PSG comes back and scored one. See, we needed to beat them today, folks. 3-1. Was it 3-1? I'm not sure. But anyway, it was the aggregate system. You know, I can explain to you later. But anyway. And then something beautiful happened. You know, the boys got inspired. See, when you have history, I'm going to go back to the history thing. When your sports team like the Lakers, the Dodgers, all my teams have history. I have winning teams by default. But Manchester United is my crown jewel. It's the jewel of them all because Manchester United, we don't think we're going to win. We don't want to win. We expect to win. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all United. Shout out to the Fox crew. That's Mafia. The Fox crew's been bringing luck. LA Red Army. GGMU. Shout out to the LA Reds. Everybody at Rocco's. You know that was going to happen Sunday. You know what I'm saying? It was turned. Today was turned. It was a shout out to Will, Amani out in Paris repping. Bring me back a t-shirt. I shouldn't even been at work today. I had to work while this was going on. All my boys were at the bar toasting it up. But anyway, let's go back to the current situation. So we weren't supposed to win, folks. We were just supposed to bow down and walk out with grace. You know, just be happy we showed up to the party. And it didn't go down like that. My boy John just walked in. He's my first guest. Hold on, John. Let me see. You are on mic. Go in there and talk right real quick. Do it now.
What's going on?
All right. Put the headphones on.
All right.
This is my boy John. We're going to talk to him a little bit, but he's a talented brother, entrepreneur. We're going to get into him right now. This is what I want. This is an MU thing. It's a Manchester United thing. So today, we went in Paris and won, took it from him. Paris got all the money. They got the Neymars. They got the Jordan brand. Michael Jordan sponsors them, you know.
They got the clothes, too.
And they got that punk, what's his name, Di Maria, who left us to go there. Di Maria's doing nice in that little French league. He does great things. But anyway, he had to come against us, and he went down. Today was one of those great days, man.
Yes.
It was a special day. You didn't even understand. My boys played today in soccer. You know how I am about that. I got and they won something magical. And I'm stoked. I'm pumped. But we're going to get into John. John, say your last name.
Skelton.
I want to call Skelly all the time.
Skelly.
I'm still riding high, man. I think I almost broke my arm because I threw a chair and it bounced off. Oh, here comes... Oh, the two Johns, both of them. Right. Damn, it's swollen out. Did you do some push-ups before you came in here? Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Let me put you on. Put your headphones on right there, bro. So, basically, I brought these two gentlemen in here because I respect them highly. You know, what I like about them is they... talking to a John.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yourself?
What I like about you two is... shout out to all my LA Red Army, dog. That's enough of that. We'll talk at the bar Sunday. I see y'all. We're going to do it against Arsenal. But anyway, what I like about y'all, this is why I want to have you on, because, you know, I heard y'all's story that night when we were at your crib.
Yeah.
And I'm telling myself, like, you know, this is stuff that kids need to hear. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everybody thinks, like, you know, like in this generation of kids, they feel like, I don't want to diss the shorties, but they feel like everything is now. You got to get it now. It's like a sort of type of entitlement like these kids have in this generation because, you know, with all the Facebook and all their stuff and all their Instagram, social media, they feel like they're celebrities already or they already earned it. But when you see two brothers like you, I mean, your story about y'all was in an apartment and it was like eight of y'all and it was in the snow. That's all I pictured. That's wild. Then you were on the phone like, you need to come out here.
Right.
And
that's crazy.
But basically, what these two dudes have come from, they came from Indiana.
Yep.
To Cali, have the business, running their business. You know, they came out here. I think they came out here in bags and backpacks and was all in one room. And it was like, we got to get it done. And they got it done. That takes heart on a different level. I mean, when I heard that story, I was so inspired. And I'm older than these dudes. And I was like, damn, what am I tripping on? Like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If these two can do it. Because I look at them and I'm like, damn, they strong. You know, and then I see y'all smiling all the time now. You know. Everything's working out, and it's not like it was just given to you. It's earned. It's earned. Like, when I see people come work for y'all, I always tell them, like, have you heard their story?
It's a good one.
It's a crazy one.
We're going to make a movie on it. It's going to be called
Broke
Billionaires, man. Everybody thought we was billionaires when we was broke.
But you know what? Your aura probably put that off, like, you know, because you knew in your mind, I'm going to get there.
Exactly.
I'm going to get there.
That's all it is.
So, I'm going to introduce you to I call them the two Johns. You know, Skelly, go ahead and tell everybody about yourself. Where are you from?
Cool. Man, you know, I'm from Indiana. You know what I mean? I'm, you know, born and raised in Indiana, from a small town, super humble, and just always had that
Who's
dream.
Humble? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying you were super humble. No, go ahead. Oh, no, I'm, forgive me. Tina could not be here. She says she only can come for good guests.
Oh, really?
Just playing. No, she has had a migraine and she couldn't come in. But she's very awesome. She's really the star. But okay, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all good.
She apologized.
So no, man. You know, just from Indiana, humble. You know, always came from humble backgrounds. Had great parents, and just you know, kind of grew up with. I never wanted to work that nine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just kind of didn't want to work the have the everyday life and. And I just wanted to come out to California. It's funny, I was listening to Pac today. I'm like, why am I listening to Pac today? Because it reminded me of when I was growing up, I used to watch, To Live and Die in L.A. And I was like, for some reason, somehow, I'm going to get out there and just figure it out.
To L.A.
Just, that's it, To Live and Die in L.A. And literally, we are here living and dying in L.A. And we made it happen, man. We had a lot of close calls out here, especially with business, you know what I'm saying? And that's crazy. But just thankful to be out here, man. It's amazing. It is the city of angels, and we love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead, Big John. You tell.
Same.
Are y'all
thing,
so y'all
man.
From the same town?
Yeah, we're from the same city. It's crazy. We got the same name.
So yeah, that's what I when I first met you, I was like, they hustle it already.
Yeah,
it's too quick.
John. Yep. Both the crazy thing. Both our dads' names are John.
Right.
And then both our granddads' names are John.
That's crazy.
So who's gonna write the script?
My uncle.
Your uncle's gonna write
My uncle's the script writer.
It's crazy.
Okay.
And the crazy thing about it is like our moms were our best friends, so that they were pregnant around the same time. So it's crazy. So my story is just a little bit different. You know, I grew up in Indianapolis, man. Good family. We grew up in a kind of rough neighborhood part of town. And for me, man, I was a blue collar guy, so I was working warehouse. So John always had that business bug.
Right.
I was a blue collar guy. I did warehouse. I was personal trainer. Did that school teacher type thing for a little bit. But what the big change for me is when my dad lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been at a place for over 20 years or so, and you know they laid him off, and my parents lost everything. So it kind of changed me more to I got to get money. I got to take care of my family.
So you saw how that control was like, not saying he lost control, mm-hmm. but when you fired, you're like, damn, what, you know, because you
100%.
Get that routine, like, all right. But y'all was like, I got to control this.
Yeah. Yes. And that's when, you know, John was out here doing his business thing, and he had a successful company, and I was seeing him mm-hmm. doing his thing, and he gave me a call.
Was
like,
it successful at the time? Because I know when he said he called you to come out here. You called.
We was successful on the way down. You know, right. It was showing the checks, but the money had been spent all day.
Weren't you in another state, though, when you called him?
No, I was out here in L.A., man. Okay. We had a little company. I'm not going to put the name out there because I know some people still looking for me.
Yeah.
I can't put the name out there. Because there's some people who could still be looking for me about something.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, you know.
Just tell them to let it go. Yeah. Tell them to let it go.
But what we did was we used to write business plans, and we was those guys young and just enthused and just like, let's get some money.
Yeah, I was probably the kid selling candy at school.
Man.
Yeah, we were. We were.
Getting money.
And we was writing business plans, you know, so we were helping people. Yeah, I was, you know, going to grad school and then just trying to figure out, we can write a business plan. We learned how to write business plan, so we were like, hey, let's throw an ad out there to help guys get SBA fund. It was a great idea, by the way. It was a really great idea. We would put advertisement out there helping people get funding, and then we would write a business plan, and we would charge anywhere from $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, even $20,000. We would get $20,000 paychecks.
Writing people business plans.
But what we would do is we would get the money and then hire someone else to do it for about $1,000 and then and then we would send them to SBA and SCORE offices, and then have them tweak it up. And then we had a whole list of investors that we could, that was the money, our list of investors
Brilliant.
That we would shop them to. So it was cool. That was fun.
See, man. Everybody think you got to have a wicked jump. Nah. But to me, that's creativity at another level. You know what I'm saying? You're like, okay, I know a guy who know a guy. You're like the ultimate middleman, but you're getting I'm going to get paid. Yeah. Everybody don't know what everybody's going to make.
The big middleman.
That is awesome. So coming out to Cali, I mean, New York and Cali are considered your hardest markets to come to.
Yeah.
That's ballsy to come out to Cali and be like, we're going to make it. I mean, you could pick Ohio. I'm like, oh, we're going to make it out there. You know what I'm saying? But you guys wanted Cali.
We wanted, for the entrepreneurs that's listening here, we wanted to go to the big cities because it was hard.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying? I remember there was an opportunity when we was in the when we was working with the consulting company. They was like, hey, look, you can go to San Francisco, there's seven people that failed in the market. It's like, let's go.
Right.
Yeah. And it's the most expensive place to live in. That's exactly where we want to be, right, because that's where the challenge is. We don't want to go to places where it's just easy to survive, because what's the challenge in that? Yeah. We're supposed to be pushing ourselves.
And kids have that same drive, because you hear kids say, I want to go to the league. I want to go to this. That's hard as hell to say that, but they will work the ass off for that.
Right.
But you see, that's why I want you to show these kids. You can go to business and be like, I want to go there and be successful. They can do it. You know what I'm saying? But everybody's dependent on the rap game. I have nothing against those things, but there's so many avenues. That's what I'm saying. When you two guys show up, you know how many people come up to me and are like, who are those guys right there? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know what's going on. They're like, they seem like they're doing all right, right? You know, they're brothers. They're doing all right. I'm like, hey, talk to them. Don't talk to me. Talk to them. I can't tell you their story. Yeah. But when I heard y'all's story, I was moved, because I was like, man, these dudes ain't come. They earned every dime they have. And now you got this business running good, and you have good ideas. And then, you know, I tell people who come to your company, I'll be like, just stick with them. It ain't going to be easy. And I'm already like qualified, like, oh, you're not gonna do it. I just talk to them, like, you know, like, so if they don't follow my directions well, I'd be like, oh yeah, you're not gonna do it. But I notice women do well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, what is
do
that?
Well, they do well. I think a lot of it is they work hard too, man.
You think it's because they've already been like down in a little bit, and they just know nothing but like, I got to fight anyway.
Well, I think they're able to communicate with both sides, and I think sometimes they're able to have the relationship a little bit better. They can relate to the guys and relate to the girls out there. And so, and they work hard, man. They challenge each other. They work at, they beast up in the office and like, hey, I'm challenging you. Like, so we love that.
So
they
you
make
taught
the most in the office.
They make the most in the office.
Oh, really?
They beat the guys hand down.
And they're serious, because there's a young lady by the name of Yawn.
Number
one.
She is serious.
She broke the record in the office this week.
I made a little joke with her, like, yeah, I'm gonna have your bosses on my show. They think they funny. She was like stone face, like,
really?
Damn, she didn't even laugh at my shit. Nothing's funny. And she just had to look. She was just like, I'm waiting for this elevator to come so I can get upstairs right now.
Oh, it's because
and you know what? I don't want to put her like, you know what I see about her? Yeah. She talks to everybody in your company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when they come in, she's like, hey, what's up? Well, she's a meter and greeter. I'm like, oh,
shit. Go get her.
Yeah, I hope she's not listening, but because I told her you're going to be on.
I told her we was going to be on today, too, so she is going to be listening.
Good.
She's got to give her the station.
What is success to you?
What's that?
Yeah, both of you. What's going to – I know you're not where you want to be yet. I already know that, but – When you lay down in bed, it's like, this is what I want. This is what I need. Is there a certain number? Is it a house? Or you just want a certain people you need to make sure are straight? Or is it just, you'll know when you know?
Success is never ending, because it's, to me, success is pursuing a worthy ideal. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So whatever is in your head, as long as you're pursuing it, you will. That's success to me, because, like, you know, if someone wants to be a successful mother and they're at home and taking care of their kids and they're doing that, they're successful. If a person wants to be a successful business person and they are doing it and they failed and they did their first business and it blew up and they failed at it, and then they opened another one up and that blew up and it failed, and they keep doing that, they're successful because they're beating the other person that's not doing it. That's not successful.
Right.
So to me, there's never enough. The answer is always more, because I'm always evolving as a person. So as long as, you know, when you start to hit certain goals, you know what I mean? When you start hitting certain goals, then new goals come up, and as long as you keep going, I feel like that's the definition of success to me.
Yeah.
What do you say,
BJ? I say the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, how do you measure success? It depends on what the person's expectations are and what their goal is. Like you said, if you want to be a successful mom, and that might be different from somebody who wants to be a successful business person.
Yeah.
I think it also has a lot to do with expectations too, like, especially for us. Like, if someone says, hey, man, I just want to make $50,000 a year, and they make $48,000 a year, they're probably okay with that.
Right.
See, we're not okay with that. So if I say, hey, man, I need to make $20,000 a month, $1 million a year,
right,
and I'm making $50,000 a year, I'm going crazy.
Right.
You know, I'm making 100 grand a year. I'm going crazy. So I think a lot of it has to do also with the person's expectations and what they believe that they can achieve. So if they're not believing for big things and have low expectations, then that's their level of success.
Do you think people have a fear of the business world?
That's what I was going to say. You know, you can't to be successful pursuing a worthy ideal.
Yeah.
You can't be afraid of the failures, because success is failure turned inside out.
Right.
Because that's how you learn. You know, I learned that through that last business when I failed. That was my greatest discovery. Like, what does not work?
See, people don't see that like that.
Yeah. Being, you know, and then falling, getting homeless and you know, getting kicked out of your place, getting cars repoed.
Yeah.
That
Shout
was
out to being homeless and getting your car repoed.
All of us, everybody.
I've been
here.
Through that.
Car repoed, homeless, everything. You know what I'm saying? And those were the best times, because now you can talk about those things and help someone else that's afraid to go through that, because you can't be afraid. If you want to be successful, you gotta be ready to go to the deep end, and you gotta face your fears, and you gotta go do it, because it's not gonna kill you. That's what I live by. If it doesn't kill me, then it makes me better, and then that's it. Like, let's just go. Like, you can't be afraid.
Yeah.
When someone gives up or doesn't try, do you pull them aside and give them little tidbits? What does it do? I mean, do you look at it? Do you see wasted talent?
Man, I do. It's like, because it's their mentality. It's their fear. And they don't understand that fear is false evidence appearing real, because we faced it. That's the only thing. The only thing that's frustrating, we try not to let it frustrate us, but the only thing that frustrates us is that everybody that's successful, if you look at it, they all have a laundry list of failures, right?
Yeah.
If you look at Abraham Lincoln's story, I mean, that's crazy. You could Google all the failures he went through.
Yeah.
And he is the president. He became the president of the United States. You're going to go through that. That's why. And you can see why a lot of people fall off, because they hit those roadblocks and they give up. And they think that is failure right there. And they didn't know what they can learn from that to go. Yeah, so, yeah, it frustrates us when people are just like, oh, you know, I didn't do it today. And it's just like, dude, outthink the situations.
When I see people not leaving, and they're going home to their mom or whatever and leaving your situation, I'm like, have you heard their story? Because I know people leave there and be like, they tripping, whoop-de-whoop, up the door. What do you think? They woke up and it was like a little magic wand, and
I think, like I said, is expectations is what people, what do they believe that they can't achieve? It's like, for us, you know, it was like success was the only option. You know, business owner was the only option. And so it was no quitting. For us, there was no plan B. There was no plan C. There was no plan D. There was no, hey, if this don't work, I can call Uncle so-and-so and go get a job. Yeah. Or, you know, I can go work at the bank. Like, for us, it was like, it's employee or
people got options.
It was literally like get rich or die trying. It was that type of I mean, I remember I was looking at each other like, this is it.
And that's the best.
Yeah, you guys,
we're not stopping until we get what we want. And it was that energy that carried us over, I think.
That's what makes you alive, when you don't have no option B.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I like to say, like, I always looking at business and whatever you're doing, whatever, it's war. It's war. If you want to be a basketball player, it's war. If you want to be a business owner, it's war. If you want to be a doctor, it's war. And you got to look at it as like, you just got dropped. Your whatever you're trying to do, whatever field that is, you like a seal. They dropped you off in that land.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
Figure it out. Here's your
you're
mission.
You're in the middle of the ocean. Boom. You're out the submarine. Figure it out.
And you can't. So what that does is that alleviates all excuses. You can't complain. I love it. Like, you know, like us, we look, it's so funny. I remember the day that you had the car repo. It was like, check this out. His car got repo. We're working. Yeah. We're working hard. All day. 13 hours a day, 16 hours a day. It's like one of those days. Driving wherever we got to go. He goes into the store real quick. His car gets repoed. All of the information, all the sales, computer, laptop, forms, everything's in there.
Gone.
So how do we look at his perspective? So next thing you know, he's like, man, my car got, I swore I parked here. It's not here anymore. And then next thing you know, we're like, cool. Here come, I got a car. So I'm like, here come the chopper. We're going to come pick you up. Tank blown up. It's the way we look at it.
Yeah.
Then guess what? The next week, my car gets towed. Right. And then it's like, we got to hit another buddy. Here with Chopper. And now we're having.
You're still swimming. You're still above water.
We're alive.
Still breathing.
We got to go. Let's get on another sail appointment. It's like another. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. So, who's the bad cop and good cop?
I'm gonna say
because I think I know, but then I've seen you both work.
Yeah. It's either or, but it's either or.
I
want
to hear what you guys say.
I think sometimes I get the good cop role, and John gets the bad cop role, and then sometimes it's reversed. Like in business, there's something they call PSR, which means please see read.
Yeah,
so that's something where.
Oh wow!
That's when I'm the bad cop role.
Did you get the PSR?
Yeah, they know what that means.
These two gentlemen have a company called Red Label. You want to explain? We didn't even talk about what you do now. I mean, this is it. This is your plug.
Yeah, oh man!
To my million listeners,
man.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know what we do? I love what we do. It's we recruit. I mean, just simply put. We recruit, train, and develop leaders.
Yeah.
That's it. And then we're the league. I feel like we're the Red Label is the league.
I like that.
And we're looking for players, major players that want to play big league. So our clients are like, you know, Verizon, Home Depot, AT&T. Those are the teams.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? And, you know, you got the government. Those are the teams that are looking for players that want to build a team and market for those guys. So, you know, to be able to work with a high-pressure company like, you know, AT&T or Verizon or whatever, Home Depot, you got to be tough. You got to be willing to – you got to work well under pressure because they're going to put the pressure on you because they're Fortune 1. They don't understand excuses. They understand that if you don't get the job done, they'll find someone else to get the job done.
Exactly.
So you have to be that type of, you know, focus like that, like an NBA player is, like an NFL player is, you know?
Yeah. RedLabelInc.com.
Yeah, the league.
Do you feel – I feel like people come to you, get these jewels and dip – and go somewhere else. I know they've taken it from me because, you know, I've seen people that worked for you. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I saw two of them last week. I'll tell you after the show who they were. Yeah. And I saw them down at the little burrito spot, and I was like, hey, you know, whoop-de-whoop. Right, right. Where you two been, you know? Because obviously they met each other through you guys.
Right, yeah. Right.
I was like, what's up? I was like, so why you guys stopped coming? What's going on? You know, I'm to the point. Yeah. They were like, you know, it was great. I learned a lot. I learned so much. Right. And I thought, so my next question was, why did you leave?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, the expectations was too much. And, and I was like, whose expectations was too much? Mm-hmm. Because either yours wasn't good enough because I know what you two expectations are. Mm-hmm. I know they ain't nobody come through there. That door has been through what you two. I seen mama and daddy sitting waiting for him to come out of job interviews. Like,
wow.
Like, mom, you got to take this pacifier day mouth or something because it's too easy to quit. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. But anyway. And they're like, oh, yeah, but the things I learned from them, though, it's helping me now. I'm like, ain't that a bitch?
Right.
You know, and I know that's got to be crazy to you because you're giving them the good. Like, here you go. And then. You know, they just want to.
Well, you know, it's cool because you know sometimes you can look at it as we train in our competition, but a lot of times our goal is to help someone grow, and whether they, you know, because everybody has different goals, and I always say it like this, you know, we're all in the same vehicle, which is our business, but we might be going to different destinations, so which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But some people say, hey, man, I just want to come into the business, and I just kind of want that 9-to-5 feel. Some people say, hey, I come into the business, just want to get the education.
Yeah.
Some people say, I come to the business, I want to make this type of thing in my career.
Yeah.
But hopefully, for however long they're in our business, they're giving it 100%. Mm-hmm. And if they say, hey, I'm done with this, and I'm moving on to the next thing, leaving a good standard, and that's great. Because a lot of times in terms of our business, is three things that you have to have. Like, you have to have an education. You got to know what we're doing. Not like a college education, but an education in our type of marketing. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have a game plan. You got to know how to get to the next level. And you need a coach. So it's like, for us, it's not really training competition, because without those three things, it's like you don't have our business model, in a sense. Right. So that's why a lot of people, I think, really stick with us.
Yeah. Wow. Do you feel like, or actually, this is what I wanted. I know.
Who are
one
of my,
no, no, no. One of my.
what were the names?
No, one. I will tell you. I'm going to tell you. Because I don't know their names. I'm going to describe them. Oh, it's going to come off kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying?
We'll know.
We'll,
I got eyes everywhere.
You want to talk about that right now?
No.
Okay. Because I was going to say, but people could be like, oh, that's wrong. You should say that. But I know one of my elementary kids since I knew from elementary is one of your competitors.
Oh.
His name is Renee. Has a company, same thing you do. Matter of fact, he came to visit me at work and he was like, Red Label's up in here, huh?
Really?
I was like, yeah, I said, it's my boys. He's like, oh yeah, we do the same thing.
They know about it.
He said, yeah, but I don't make my people dress up. I don't make them do it. I said, yeah, but you're not promoting. Mm-hmm. See, what I like about your kids is they have on their wardrobe.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I learned about the suit as a wardrobe. You're going to war. Yeah. You got to look the part. You know what I'm saying? And I know some of them be like, oh, I don't want to. But your people are doing better than his people. And the reason why I can, because it's the same product, but the only thing I can see differently is they look more professional.
They do.
You look good, you feel good.
And I don't know why people don't get that. Yeah. And I know some people want to be like, I just want to wear some jeans and
everything we do is designed to disrupt their comfort.
Right. It's hazing.
Like, that's the difference, you know. Do you think it's easy? I'll just want to reply back to, do you think it's easy to be a Navy SEAL?
Yeah.
No. Do you think it's cool to
get your car repoed and another one repoed?
Comfortable. No. No, poor is comfortable.
And it's tough because, you know what I noticed? Out of state, people do well.
Yes.
Because they're out here.
They're out here.
They ain't nothing to
they
do.
They got dropped off.
You know, it's tough because I met one kid from me. Oh, he was from Houston. He was talking so much game. And I was just like, you're not going to do it. Yeah, and it's not like they can't do it. It's just little things. I do my good, own. Like wait a minute. Yeah, you know, I talk to him and be like,
you got to do some interviews with us.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, but I'm kind of cut though, because I would be
same.
You shouldn't be here, bro. You shouldn't be here.
Well, I think the thing too is like a lot of people don't understand. Like we're building business owners, we're building leaders,
you're building character. They don't see it. People don't see it. I mean, business is a lot harder to me, and it could be harder. It could be easier because if you stay focused on one lane, see, business is you can do anything if you want. You know what I'm saying? Basketball, you just got to work on a jumper. Right. Business, I can be in computers. I want to do this. I want to do that. Yeah. And people get to, like, if I can't do it here, I quit.
Yeah.
There's so many avenues.
Right.
You know, you taught. You worked in a 9-to-5. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You grad school.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing something now. You're just like, I control me.
Yes. That's the main thing.
People don't understand that self-control is awesome. You know, I mean, I did my school thing and I played ball and, you know, I had my little run-ins and everything. Mm-hmm. But I always was like, you know what? I could just stay in this route and this lane, but I'm gonna do something different. Right, I gotta do something where I control, so I'm gonna do the radio.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Awesome, have fun with it.
I love it.
In fact, I'm looking for sponsors. Hey, anybody wanna sponsor? We're now on SoundCloud, iHeart, and Spotify. So, you know, that's advertising. So,
that's great.
You know, and I'm excited. Champs. You know, Tina, you heard all that stuff. I know you're listening. And to me, it's spectacular, you know. And China Fox.
Ooh,
I wanna talk about her.
Okay.
Ooh. She can sing.
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to have her on my show, but we got to talk about something.
We got to talk, man.
Let's talk.
I know your people are downstairs right now, right?
Yeah, they're working right now?
They're in there all day.
Working. Okay, because I listened to her music last night. She's pretty good.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. I was just like, damn, she got a song called Are You?
Yeah.
It's very princey. I don't know why I'm talking about this right now, but my whole point is I put you on blast. I got her on the show, so I don't know what you guys are going to help me out with.
She sent me some music the other day. I was blown away.
She can sing. I think she...
Why don't you send me this one?
Let's go back to the food. These two dudes, I talk to them every day, probably 5 times a day. And
every day.
I see y'all first thing in the morning, too.
Yep, first thing.
It's crazy because we're up here and I'm just like, damn, I'm so tired. But, you know, you're the first ones in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I trip out the ones who are trying to be there the first ones, too. And I look at all that stuff, too, and I'm like, trying too hard. Something's up. You know what I'm saying? But I noticed the ones, I don't understand the whole women thing.
What do you mean?
What about
women in business are just awesome. I'm not trying to stereotype, but I just see things.
I think I know why.
Tell me.
They just know how to communicate better. Everybody you loves women.
You know what
women.
It is? That's what it is.
Men love women, and women love women.
Yeah, and but see, men have too. We bring too much ego to the argument.
Yeah, way too much.
Like, I'm trying to talk to you about something. Oh, forget that. Right. Women are like, no, what's slow down? You know, they calm you down.
Right.
Dudes are like, oh, I'm not trying to deal with him.
Yeah.
And they'll say, I trip off the ones that leave, like, at the first. Right, like, I see him one day, and they pop, and I'll be like.
Right.
Okay. Right. But, you know, you see the ones who come with the heart and a lot of things, you know. Tell me your family goals.
Family
goals. I wanted to do this, too.
Set them up.
Family goals. You know who this is geared at. I'm gonna go there.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to go first, Big John?
Nah, I'll let him go.
You ready? I go first. Is that part of your success?
Always. You know, family goals is, you know, definitely family goals. Like, okay, you know, for my parents first, you know, my parents, first of all, is that I just want, it's my turn to treat them. My parents, for the most part, have provided an amazing upbringing. They were both together. They gave me a lot of love, and I thank them for that. And they, you know, We didn't grow up rich, but, you know, I had the Jordans and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I wanted the J's.
You weren't without.
Yeah, I didn't go without. I see how well, you know, how well my parents took care of. So whatever we're starting to do that now. It's like, so, you know, I've been helping my mom pay her bills off and take care of credit cards and stuff like that. And definitely, you know, family
Which
goals.
Which is a good feeling, isn't it?
You know, whenever she needs money, that's like, always, you know, when I was going through those really rough times when I couldn't, you know, send her money or I couldn't show up to family reunion, like there's a family reunion, I'm taking care of her ticket. That's awesome. And all that. So I just want to be able to, like, just fully, just, mom, you're not doing any financial stuff anymore. Yeah. You know, put her on the payroll and all that. That's coming soon. And same with my pops. And then for, you know, I guess my family, my little family that I have out here, my son, you know, and my son's mother.
And his son, by the way, he's not from this. He was born some other time because I don't understand what's going on with this kid.
Yeah, man.
He already knows how to wear the rings. The dimples are already on fleek. And I'm just like, he's cheating. Something's up. He's been here. He definitely like, boy. I know what to do.
He connects.
I'm just going to chill till, you know, till I'm 13. When I get the teen behind my name, I'm turning it up.
Yeah, I'm ready to learn some stuff.
And you're kind of... you know, you're dropping jewels on him too.
All day.
He's watching you like,
He's watching.
I know pops do.
He's watching. He's telling me good job. But then for them, like, building a financial, like, my goals are to build a financial fortress for the family. And what that means is, so that way, the reason why I want to build a financial fortress is because
I like the word fortress, by the way, for financial fortress.
Financial fortress.
It sounds strong.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing can get in. There's no financial thing that's going to dart through the walls, and we can do whatever we want to do and live generational wealth, to be honest with you.
Right.
So that's
wealth.
Wealth
is the word. Like Chris Rock said. Back when we rich, but they have wealth.
What's the difference?
Wealth is a different word.
It's a different word.
How about you, family?
Me, man, same thing. You know, that was always one of the reasons for the hustle, for the grind was, you know, mom and dad. You know, that was one of the things I said that hit that made me part of the reason why I came out here. Because, you know, they did the job thing. My dad did the, you know, worked hard, provided for the family, and then got hit with that late in life in his 50s.
That's so scary.
And lost everything, literally. Matter of fact, like, John's dad, like, you know, helped loan our family money.
Which is love.
We was going through, like, I'm talking about thousands, like five figures.
Yeah.
We was going through things. So, you know, so growing up and seeing that that type of thing, the 40 years, 40 hours, 40% of the pension, like, you know, it's like, I didn't want to do that. So, you know, that's what was the reason for the grind. But making sure that my parents don't want for anything, make sure that my siblings don't want for anything, that's always been a part. And especially, number one, my daughters, you know, I want to make sure that they don't have to work, that they can do the things that they really want to do and do what, you know, whatever God puts in their heart to do in this life. And not have to worry about money and struggle the way that I did. And as John said, of course, you know, it's we're building a financial fortress where, you know, because one thing in our culture when we grew up, it was like a lot of people didn't have money. But if they did have money, it was all about splurging it. And it
that was going to be my next question.
Right?
Go ahead.
And the thought process was not, hey, am I, you know, scripture says, hey, I got to leave an inheritance for my children's children.
Yeah.
And it's like, are we doing that? Are we leaving a bill or a will, as they say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, it was like, I want to leave a will. I want to leave an estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that when I'm gone, you know, because a lot of times in terms of remembrance of ancestors, it's like, if I don't remember my great, great, right. great, great, great grandmother, because they didn't leave me anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't leave me anything. So you get lost. But if, you know, they left me a home or a house or some finding, I'd be like, that's great, 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 great grandma. She left us this home 100-some years ago. So we're going to change that by, that's what we talk about leaving a legacy, exactly. is by leaving them something. You know what I mean? So that's huge. That's everything.
Now, for you guys, was there like, for example, you guys are both doing, good. Yeah. Let's say you're doing, I don't want to, because I know where y'all want to be. And yeah. I know you're not there yet, but you guys are doing, is there like a, since like I want to spend this, I want to go ahead and buy this new. I want to do this. I want to get some new shoes. I want to. What can you tell people? I mean, because we, you know, like you said, our culture, we get money. It's like, oh, I'm about to go down here and do this.
Yeah.
What can you tell somebody? How do you tell them to break up the money? Do this. How do you invest? What do you do that?
I got.
Because I need to know.
I got some good stuff.
Tell me. I'm asking this for me. Actually,
is this when we start? Charging the listeners, the subscribers right now.
So you want to charge them? No. Everybody, you can PayPal us at.
Yeah. No, this, I mean, because this is good information that they don't teach in school.
Yeah.
Because all they do is, you know, you hear me say it all the time. The only thing you're going to learn in school, you go to school for 12 years of your life only to learn how to buy the right products and get the correct change. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. They're not going to teach you anything about money because you're going to school to learn how to be a consumer.
Mm.
And that's coming from someone with an MBA and my dad's a doctor.
Right.
And I got a lot of PhDs on my mom's side. Okay. Mm. So the thing that you do with your money, and we had to find this out from other people that had money, you know, so, and you read. You know, mm-hmm. one of the greatest books out there is The Richest Man in Babylon. Really good book. Everybody should pick that up. But The Laws of Wealth was playing to me. This is what's been working for me is, yes, okay, you start to get money. The first thing that you do, I feel like, is the first thing, there's way you break it up. I feel like the first thing you should do is give. Give 10%. Yeah. Why? Because giving starts the receiving process. And if you give money, you will receive money because out of nowhere, you're blessing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that you just, that's out of nowhere, right? Because you decided to give and they didn't expect that. So now you're in that cycle.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, that could be another opportunity that comes out of nowhere to bless you, to make opportunity for you to make more money. So, and also, I just feel like it puts you over money. You can always do more with the 90% than you can do with the 10% because you start to budget more by just giving. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it also makes you feel good. So that's a whole nother segment. That's a whole nother show. That's a different show. But
we can have you back.
Yes. I would like to do that.
So you say give 10%.
Give 10.
Every time.
Every single. Every it's time. Like. Dude, every time I get money, I mean, you could give me, I mean it. I'm not just saying this for real because it's changed my life. Like, this is a law that I live by, seriously. Like, it's almost like.
I guess I know who's paying for my donuts tomorrow morning, and I'm just going to, hey, can you give me that?
But it's got to be in the budget.
You know it's not something.
It's not, you know, the 10% has already been given. No, so that's automatic. No, but so you give that. So 10%, you give that. Boom. So now you got 90%. The other 80%, you're going to take 10% and you're going to save it. Why? Because money avoids an empty purse.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I look at savings and having money is like a way to attract more money. You get right. what I'm saying? It just gives you, you know, if you got money in the bank, you got it. It's like money to me is like a magnet, right? Yeah. You know, if you got money, attract more money yeah. begots money.
Yeah.
And if you don't.
These are all jewels for me.
Okay, great. So then you save it. And then the other, now, you know, then there's a whole other segment on that, how much you save and whatever, you know, you want to save up, you know, enough money to be able to take care of expenses for, you know, some time and stuff like that. But that's a whole other thing. But then the other thing is you take the other 10% and you, once you get, you know, once you're saving, you take another 10 and you invest it, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're giving money out, you're saving money, that's, you know, you're padding. And then, oh, here's another concept. Don't save for a rainy day. I used to think that. That's kind of what my parents said.
Yeah, I've heard.
Don't save for a rainy day. Save for more opportunities.
Right.
Because that you're training your mind to think that, okay, I saved all this money and I'm waiting for something to happen up, so I can just give it away.
It seems like it's more personal. I'm just going to save it for something goes bad for me, but you're like, no, I'm saving to get more money.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saving for more. And then the other 10% is what I use to invest. So, you know what I'm saying? So now I got money working. I'm giving it, which is going to bring more. Then I'm saving it, which is going to attract more. and then I'm sending money out that's supposed to recruit more money too. You know, like the investment is like Kevin O'Leary says, like it's like those are like soldiers. You know, I got a small platoon right now that I'm sending out to recruit more soldiers. So that's 70%. And then if you're in business and you're like a 1099, you're doing your own thing, then you should take 15%. And then that's what you use to, you know, pay taxes and stuff like that. You know, just have that set off.
Pay your taxes, people.
Right. Yeah. So that's 45%. That leaves us 55% left. Now I start to budget. Then I start, you know, whatever my rent is on a weekly basis out of the 55%. Now I'm going to start putting that off every week. Every week. Every week you do this stuff. And then that, I think those are disciplines equal freedom. And then now you'll be able, you know, when you have the discipline
I
got
to go listen to this show because this is going through discipline. You know what I'm saying? And I went to college. I did my thing. And I'm like.
They didn't teach this because they just
wanted me to catch football and make tackles.
Man, you know why college is horrible with money? Because they give you a, you know.
First of all, they put you in debt. Yeah. Because they give out them credit cards. Like, oh,
man. That's
all good. I love it. Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole episode. Man, talking about college, man, it's crazy.
Don't take credit cards freshman in college because it's a trap.
Yeah, man.
And I took them all.
Yeah, man.
Maxed them out, and
because they don't teach you that in school. You take calculus and AP and all that. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the everyday aspects of money.
Yeah.
So and the crazy thing about it is money is hereditary.
Yeah.
In a sense that you know, okay, so great grandma didn't eat right. Grandma didn't eat right. Mama doesn't eat right. What's the chances you're not gonna eat right? So in the same sense, it's with money. So great grandma didn't know how to spend money. Grandma didn't spend money right. Mama didn't spend money right. What's the chances that you're going to spend money right?
Yeah.
Because money is taught at home, just like faith is taught at home. Finances, fitness is taught at home.
Yeah.
All these things are taught at home. So if people are expecting to learn it at school or some outside source, and you're not learning disciplines at home, you're gonna get into the real world and get bamboozled by credit cards and all these type of things. So this was something for us that I wasn't taught. You know, I didn't know about a 401k until I was 28 years old.
Yeah.
I was already working.
Yeah, my first job is when I learned.
I was like,
what is this?
I came home. I remember coming home. I came to my mom's house, my mom and dad's house, excited. I was like, Mom and Dad, did you guys know there's a thing up there called a 401k with them?
They were like,
you late. Like, and I'm like, man, I never knew about it. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the type of that, but you have to search for those things too, because like, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find. Like, you got to plant the seed to get back the fruit. So a lot of times we put our energies on a lot of different things. But it's like, when's the last time you spent an hour during your week or 30 minutes during your day seeking on how to master money? Like, for us, it was like, we want to master it. Like, not just, like, we want to own money.
That's why you guys loved your mistakes. Like, okay, not doing that again, but I learned a lot more.
Yeah, it's a reminder.
See how fast the show goes by? We have 4 minutes left.
That's wow.
Yeah, that's it.
Man. We got to come back.
I got a question for both of y'all, though.
Gotta come back.
I'm going to look you in your eye.
Okay.
Did you watch that Michael Jackson documentary?
Which one?
Good. You didn't watch it then.
What are people saying about it? I just heard somebody say, don't watch it.
I said, don't watch it.
That was you.
Yeah, I tweeted it. Because, you know, I'm cool with the Jacksons, lightweight.
Right.
Yeah. It's so deep. I got to do. I can do a show of that because I talked to the fam about it.
Yeah.
It's deep because I didn't know Michael owned half of Sony. And when he died, Sony got it back. Isn't that a coincidence, though?
Wow.
Remember, and Sony was behind the tour and all that shit. Yeah. Uh-oh.
He was like 50%, right?
Yeah, he had 50% of Sony.
Bought his royalties from the Beatles.
But he couldn't pass Beatles it on to his family. So when he died, Sony got it back 100%.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's just things like that is involved.
It's very questionable.
People are trying to get Michael. People are trying to, but let's not get into that.
Okay.
It's very questionable.
Get into that. And Oprah's backed that documentary, too, which I thought was very strange. Yeah, and I have another question for y'all. Which one y'all gonna help me with my money management? Because I gotta stop buying shoes every week.
Okay. Got you, man.
Yeah, we got any one of us, man. Both.
Just plain.
Both.
Any parting words for the people? Anything you wanted to give them about Red Label? How to contact you? Anything?
Yeah, man. If you want to reach out in terms of careers or just get more information about the business, you go to redlabelinc.com. It's redlabelinc.com. Check us out, man. You get a chance to see like our company, culture, some of the clients that we work with. It's a lot of fun, man.
And the last thing I want to tell you, man, do not give up.
Yeah, don't give
that's
up.
That's it.
Just don't give up, man.
I think that's the best thing because I see.
Just don't give up.
I look at him and be like, don't do it.
Just don't give up.
Because you're going back to nothing. You're going to start over again. Watch out. Just grind and grind.
Can't quit. Yeah. Don't give up.
It's been a great show. Thank you to the two Johns, man, for coming on. They will be back. Tina, shout out to you. Get better.
Get well, Tina.
This is Case. We miss you. Wasted on Wednesday. Shout out to LA, the Man U Army. You know, tonight I'm going to see y'all. It's going to go down. And I got to go. We're in the whip. Let me tell you something. These two dudes are so remarkable to me. They're inspirational. I love talking to them because I'm older than them, and they make me want to get up and go in the morning because I don't want to let them down. All right?
Wow. Appreciate you. You know, it's been Wasted on
Wednesday, and we are out. One.
You're listening to Wasted on Wednesday with Casey Gale and Tina Lorraine Brown, only on LA Talk Radio.